What is epidemiology and why? We will start to define and describe what this topic is about. We will start by picking flowers in the garden of epidemiology. And we will find that the field of public health is huge. I can only show you some of the flowers in this garden. Epidemiology may be very much infested by statistical and mathematical jargon. I will try to minimize the use of this, but some of it we have to present. My own background is as a specialist in psychiatry and occupational medicine. I'm also an economist from the University of Oslo and a specialist in substance abuse treatment and evaluation. I use examples from all these fields in this lecture. So, what is epidemiology? A fundamental science for public health. It's a major contributor to improvements in the health of populations. It's essential to identify and map emerging diseases as the swine flu, for example. Unfortunately, there is a delay between evidence finding and application of results. You have to, in the case of swine flu, you have to use some time to develop vaccines, for instance, against a new disease. You had the same with the Ebola virus infection. And often epidemiologists will be criticized because they present evidence for new treatments slightly before they really are able to secure that these treatments are safe. But there is another pressure on getting started with treatment. Here we have a very condensed definition of epidemiology. I will read it out for you. The study of the distribution and determinants of health-related states or events in specified populations, and the application of this study to prevention and control of health problems. So you see, it's specialized, there you have it. It's in specified populations we work, so you can't say anything generally about the whole population of the world. So global studies of health are somewhat not interesting because they are so general. And you need these studies to find out what can we do to improve the health of people in the specified populations. We have an example here. You have all, especially now, I've used this for many years in my lectures, but you have heard about Donald Trump. He's supposed to be the president of the United States for the time being. He was famous before for his tremendous wealth, but also that he seldom shaked hands. He didn't like that because he thought that shaking hands had a certain level of risk for getting infectious diseases. And the question is, he is now, as a president, he is obliged to shake hands with a lot of people, so he has to do that. But does he have a point? Or is he in need of a shrink? I have a shrink here, there, behind me. It's Wilhelm Reich. He worked in Norway before the Second World War. So, are there any reasons to suspect the risk of infectious diseases by shaking hands? Then you have to ask, how do infectious agents spread? You can, for your own exercise, you can try to find three ways of spreading infections. But even if you then have found some ways of spreading infections, what are the probabilities that you get contaminated, that you get infected? And often these probabilities are very low. The probability of getting HIV, getting hepatitis, are quite low, much lower than many people think. So it's important to know something about probability. And we will, in these sessions, we will cover some elementary aspects of probability.